Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
To New York City we go for the editor-in-chief of LinkedIn, Dan Roth. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm about 65%. Pretty much.
Okay.
Let's talk about Richard Branson before we get to the Workforce Confidence Index and some interesting numbers that you got for us at LinkedIn. You broke a little news with Sir Richard, didn't you?
Well, he talked about being able to take the first flight on his Virgin Galactic, and that's coming up in January. I think Virgin Galactic has been the real highlight of the Virgin Empire this year. It's been a rough year for Virgin, so I think that talking with Sir Richard, it was pretty clear this was one area he was very happy to talk about.
Let's listen to a little bit of Dan Roth from LinkedIn with Sir Richard Branson.
The normal way of being able to travel takes time. You know, so I think that our first challenge is getting myself to space early on in the new year and then starting getting other people into space. But we also have a team that are working on real high-speed supersonic travel, and we only want to do it if we can actually do that in an environmentally friendly way. So they're working on that in tandem. And then we have Virgin Orbit, which will be doing its launch before Christmas, where we're going to launch a giant rocket attached to a 747 into orbit, traveling at 18,000 miles an hour around the Earth, dropping off satellites and doing testing for NASA. And so that's another exciting venture that is on the verge.
Wow. It doesn't sound like the pandemic is slowing him down, Dan.
Well, I think for that part, the things in space are working well, but things on the ground, not so much. If you look at a cruise line that he launched in April, not great time to launch a cruise line. And Virgin Atlantic has really suffered as airlines have been grounded. Richard has had to pull out of his own money to be able to keep employees afloat during this time. So it's been rough for, you know, he's really in the travel and leisure business, and people aren't traveling. So we talked a lot about this question of whether that's going to come back or not. He really strongly believes it is.
Does he give a timetable at all?
Well, he didn't give a timetable. What he did say was that he is very frustrated with governments, with the way that they are treating vaccines, with the speed that they are bringing out testing. And he's just, you know, he said, look, if we can just do testing faster, it opens the economy back up. And so one of the things that he can do is pick up the phone and get ahead of state, because they want to hear and talk to Richard Branson. And so that's where he's spending a lot of his time. He's got people who run the airlines and run these other businesses, and Branson becomes the diplomat who can try to force governments to see the world as he thinks they should be seeing it.
I met him once, and you know, he's one of those guys, you talk to him for a while and you just think, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be that productive? He is an amazing man, and he's been productive for a long, long time, hasn't he?
He has been. You know, he does it all from, at least since the pandemic, he has only left Necker Island in the British Virgin Islands once. He's doing all of this from this. No, not all of us have islands. I think most of us do. I say from my closet where I'm recording this in New York. I think that for Richard, he is someone who is one of the secrets to success and being that productive is he never looks back. If there's a failure, he brushes it off and moves on to the next thing. We talked a lot about that because he is, as part of his work, he and his team mentor a lot of small businesses. And one of his biggest pieces of advice is know when you're failing, cut it off, move on to the next thing. Don't look back. Don't beat yourself up. Like you have to understand that you're going to try a lot of different things in life, and some are going to work and many aren't, and you just can't dwell on your failures, and he doesn't.
Yep.
So I think that's one thing that all of us can probably try to replicate.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, keep on banging, and he's one of those guys that when he hears the word no, in his head, he hears next. He just moves right on. Let's talk about the Workforce Confidence Index and what LinkedIn has come up with. First of all, explain what this what this survey is, Dan.
Yeah, sure. So we talk to professionals across the world every 2 weeks, and we survey them on how they're feeling about job stability, financial situation, and access to opportunity. And then we carve it up by seniority and by industry to get a sense of how confident professionals are in the work they do and whether they will be able to pay their bills. We know that confidence leads to a lot of decision making. So when people are more confident, they're investing in their companies, they're investing and they're buying more stuff. And when they're not, they retrench and it can grind the rest of the economy to a halt. So we wanted to see how people are feeling about things. And the answer is they're not feeling great.
Well, is that the big takeaway? And no surprise, I guess, that people are very concerned about this pandemic, which seems to be getting worse right now.
Yeah, I think that the big surprise, you're exactly right that it's not surprising people are worried. What is surprising is when you start diving into who is more worried is the age groups where you start seeing some differences. So as an example, millennials are the most concerned about returning to work overall, while baby boomers tend to be the least concerned, which really surprised me. But if you think about it, millennials are the increase in their anxiety probably has to do with they've been in the workforce about 10 to 15 years. Maybe they're just starting families. Maybe they're raising young kids. And all of a sudden, everything looks precarious. Everything looks dangerous out there. And they are not sure whether they want to be in the office. They're not sure whether they're going to be able to keep their jobs. And I think boomers have been through hard times before. And they also maybe have a better sense of what they can do on their own, or maybe they're not supporting so many people in their family. And so they're feeling a little bit more confident. But in general, we're seeing a very stressed out workplace.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that younger folks who haven't been through a lot of crises like this one are the most troubled.
They went through the Great Recession, and so they kind of came into the workforce during the Great Recession. So they started off this way, and then it's been an incredible boom. So
yeah,
this is
right.
Really, they might have a kind of a distant memory of what it was like, but for the most of their working lives, it has been in times of expansion, not times of tremendous retraction.
Let me give you my LinkedIn experience update here, Dan.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the latest email from LinkedIn, which has a few different posts, people sharing their thoughts on LinkedIn. So these people that are on here, are these aren't people I'm necessarily following. How does LinkedIn come to give these people the space on my email here on this notification?
Yeah. So that email that you're getting is one where we are gently encouraging you to come and find the kind of content that you might experience on LinkedIn. So those are I don't know exactly what's in your email, but I can imagine it's probably some career-related information, some newsy-related posts, but it's the kind of thing that professionals are posting on LinkedIn where they are talking about what they're seeing in the world or what they've learned or what their questions are. They are either giving or getting help. And you might want to follow those people. Those people are all followable, so you don't have to connect to them. You can just say, yeah, I want to hear more about, you know, what Richard Branson has to say and his take on the world or whoever's in that email. And then you start diving into your network as well. So who are the people that you work with in media, that you've worked with over the years, that you want to be connected with, that you want to hear their particular takes? And then you start building out your world. So that email kind of tells you what everyone else is saying. Once you get on, you start seeing what the people you really know or want to know, what they're saying. So we kind of like just open the spigot, and then it's up to you to figure out how you want to fill your glass.
Yeah, there's a post here from John Harris at Conagra, who I know, and our own Vicky Kakuzian, who does traffic. I see her here, and then there's a couple I'm not familiar with, so I'm learning, Dan.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Dan Roth, editor-in-chief of LinkedIn.